The Boiled Sports Podcast Network is sponsored by Home Field Apparel. Go to homefieldapparel.com and enter BOILED23 to get 15% off your first order. Home Field Apparel, wear one for the team. And by AJ's Burgers and Beef on Vine Street in West Lafayette. Visit eataj's.com to order or just stop in. AJ's Burgers, Beef, Beer.
I do too.
I do it more.
That's why I haven't said anything.
So what you guys would like me to do is do this while I'm waiting for it to just go like this.
That's perfect. In fact, no, let me screenshot that. I'm gonna make that my wallpaper. What are you grumbling about? We're not allowed to have opinions here?
Yeah, your opinions suck.
My opinion is I love Purdue basketball. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
I don't know why I've ever doubted this program.
Good start.
Are we live, Anish?
Yep, you're on.
Is Anish here? Did we lose
yes.
Anish?
Yes. No, we're here.
Anish!
No, we're... Go ahead.
And Boiler Dowd and Jay here for the, what is this? A Handsome Hour Basketball Beat 94. Throwing it back to 1994.
Are there 94 Handsome Hour Basketball Beat composite shows?
Let's not worry about the analytics behind this.
Purdue is in the Sweet 16, as usual. I'd just like to remind everyone, Purdue, 5 of the last 7 tournaments has been in the Sweet 16. But before I remind people of that, I'd like to thank our shirt sponsor. None of us are wearing a shirt.
None of us are.
It's fine.
But I don't think you could deny these are gorgeous shirts. There's not a bad looking shirt in the view right now.
No.
I'd like to thank our friends at Home Field Apparel and our Boiled 23. At checkout and get 15% off.
I think 15.
Nothing makes sense anymore. I've lost track. Still talking about 2023. 2023 is in the past, man. That was erased this weekend.
So yesterday,
Boiler Dad's wearing a Poppins Pub shirt. Shout out, yep. CJ Poppins.
I thought he would notice without saying, but.
I'm wearing my not pajama button up. Boiler Dad asked me if this was a pajama shirt. It is not. It is a button up dress, not a dress shirt, a short sleeve sort of Floridian.
It's like a beach shirt. It's like a Hawaiian.
It's pretty
shirt.
Good for, I don't know, it would look good in Phoenix, wouldn't it?
I don't know. It'd
be kind, nice. Kind of a perfect, like, retiree looking shirt.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. A nice tropical
button it one location. More time, though, and put a gold chain on that thing.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. That would be really good.
And this is my
medallion on the end of it.
This is my victory cigar for the first 2-game tournament. I love the way you broke that down. I think that's perfect.
I love it.
3 2 game tournaments. In fact, I just want to win 2 2 game tournaments. I'm not greedy. Give me 2, and I'm not saying I don't want to win. Then I'm simply saying that. Then okay, we've talk about the pressure. We talked about this in the weeks leading up to this. That first game was going to be the anxiety monster heavily.
Yeah,
and then. Assuming you win that, I know we all talked about, man, it'd be fun to see these guys totally unburdened, totally loosened up.
We saw
and
it.
Man, is that what we just saw in round 2? Do you think?
I think so.
Had to play into it, right? Now it's like, now we're going to have fun.
Right.
I mean, they're still very focused, but all that crap.
But what they did, I think this is a combination of factors. Number one, you know, if you look at the first 15, 10 minutes, whatever, 10 minutes, right? Purdue really wasn't in full stride yet. But watch the body language of multiple Utah State players as the game starts slipping. I think I said they ripped their soul out. I think that was the thing. They were broken, like completely broken, and they didn't think they could get it back. They didn't believe they could get it back. I don't think anybody on their sideline thought they had any chance. When Purdue extended that 9-point lead to 16 in like a couple minutes, right? And Edie was starting to just look like a thoroughbred. Their big man couldn't do anything right, and Martinez was completely shut out of the game. That was it. It was over. And then Purdue started doing everything right off the bench. You didn't have to rely on Edie in the two-man deep post game. I mean, goodness gracious.
Didn't have to use Edie much at all after halftime.
Nope. 26 total minutes of play.
Two points of the 57 they scored in the second half. What I love too is all the narratives it's been detonating, that free throw merchant, you know, narrative that's just never been true, but it's especially was, you know, you can't Purdue scored 106 points. The people who there's actually some continuing to be moron fans, many of whom I have to say, almost all of whom are Big Ten fans. So
more reason. I'm seeing Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan State.
Yep. And I saw a YouTube, a much smaller, like a guy trying to get off the ground, I think, doing a very much like a sleepers type of thing where he's analyzing games, giving previews and recaps. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm going to give this kid a watch.
Sure.
And he said, unfortunately, Purdue just plays a really ugly brand of basketball.
Yeah.
And I commented, I said, well, what's ugly about it? Like, they just won a game scoring 106 points against the 20th ranked team in the country.
Yeah.
They shot 55% from the floor and 48% from three. What you can't that you have to change your, you know, your biases. You have to admit that they exist and say, okay, maybe this isn't true, because this had nothing to do with ugly basketball. There was nothing ugly about it. And I would admit it. Virginia won a title playing the ugliest basketball.
That's truly ugly basketball, right?
Right.
We know what it looks like.
Trying We've to win Wisconsin 50-49. Went to
the final game playing ugly basketball. That actually, Wisconsin went to the final game. They were playing a decent.
I was going to say that's the one Wisconsin. Like the one. That's the one window of Wisconsin basketball that's actually, you know, tolerable, right?
That's not fair. That's not fair. I'm wrong. I was wrong. So,
no, but like it is. First of all, the people that complain about it are complaining about the way that other teams play Purdue, not the way that Purdue plays,
and that's they don't the understand that.
I don't get it. Like, and that the other thing that I keep, and it's every game in the post game press conferences, you'll hear this, is that it's never the players that they just played Zach Edey, or Purdue. It's never the coaches that just coached against them. It's never Jay Wright, like the pinnacle of college coaching in the last decade. It's always kind of people looking to increase their audience, or it's always people who are just kind of watching. And even then, they're not kind of like diehards watching. Like, if you look at all the diehard numbers, if you look at all the people that break down tape, every one of them calls Matt Painter. And PJ Thompson now, I mean, like, you know, they're like really good offensive basketball, really creative offensive play callers. And so it's like, I don't get it. I mean, like, again, you look at free throws attempt, like free throw rates for free throws per field goal attempted, right? Free throw attempted per field goal attempted. And it's, you know, Purdue is pretty high there, but that's because every pregame, I think Boiler Dad posted this, it was in one of the BS replies, but like every pregame, the coach is like, we're going to beat up Zach Edey, and we have to, and I get it. I also get it. Like, that is the only way you can play Edey, because if you don't, he's going to dominate. And the consequence of that is that you send Edey to the foul line. That isn't Purdue's style of play. That is yours. That is always Purdue's opponent, right? And I don't get it. I mean, like, and then, I don't know, Mark Titus has been doing this thing where it's like calling Purdue ugly basketball and then being offended
Titus
that Purdue fans.
I'm sick of his whole bit.
Exactly.
I'm sick of it.
Well, hey, what
I
a
used
coincidence.
To think he was funny, but I don't think it's funny anymore.
What a coincidence. He went to Barstool and now he's become kind of completely intolerable.
I didn't know that.
And so it is, it's very much like, you know, everybody kind of online saying that, or like all of these kind of announcers or whatever, analysts saying, you know, Purdue plays ugly, slow basketball. And then Purdue fans saying, no, actually they don't. Like, it is the other team playing Purdue that drags the game into the mud. And then it becomes like, oh, Purdue fans are sensitive. And it's like, I don't, like, what are you talking? Okay, fine. Yeah, fine then. Say what you want and we will just keep winning. That is enjoyable. But I don't get, like, that's the part of this that isn't, it just doesn't.
Didn't they
doesn't
just set a record too? Didn't they have like a 1.48 points per possession?
Yeah.
It was like, not set, was it a record? It was some sort of absurdly high number, right? Am I right? I think it was like almost 1.5 per possession, which is
and
insane.
Watch, it will be the same people that complain about the death of the post in modern basketball. It'll be the same people that say that modern basketball players aren't tough, that they can't bang down low, that they can't do all of this. But when you see actually the perfect hybrid of modern college basketball pace and space with an old school throwback big, who can play in the style of modern basketball, it's all of a sudden different. Like, I don't quite understand. Doesn't really make much sense.
So do you think, how much do you think, you know, the hatred, we talked about this last show too, but the hatred is getting, it's like a wildfire. It's gaining steam, whatever.
Do you think it is?
It's not. I don't think so. I don't know. No, I think it's online. I think it's completely online, which is fake.
It's the reminder that Twitter is not real life. Exactly. And
it's not just on Twitter, guys.
Where are you seeing it? Because I don't think
Instagram. I'm seeing it on freaking LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's online. It's extremely online.
Yeah, but I think it's the same people. I think it's the same.
That's all the same person. Like,
state.
I just
no.
saw all of them.
No. I mean, Michigan State, Wisconsin, like those whiny.
Why does that make it any less real?
I just don't think it's as pervasive as my answer to what you're saying. You're saying it's growing. I think it's the same, you know, not same people, but the same fan bases. I don't
like
think.
Like Hive Mind. Yeah.
Yeah, Hive Mind. I don't think. I think that the media still loves Painter. And still wants to see them win, and it doesn't matter, right? I mean, I know you don't give a like. Who cares? Hate them, right?
Right.
Who cares? I want them to hate because we've been here all along. Hate them. Every Purdue fan you know has been there all along, and it's one of the things that we've talked about in the past, and I've always loved about being part of the Purdue community is that nobody. You said it, I think, years ago. There's no casual Purdue fans. There's nobody who's like, I grew up in Lafayette, so I'm a Purdue fan. I shouldn't say that. Anisha's, you know, probably got a connection to Purdue.
I met two at AJ's.
That are from Lafayette, and as a result, they're like Purdue.
They're not. I don't think.
Right, but it's not nearby. But it's not a city like Columbus, right? Yeah. It's not a place like.
I don't know if Todd's going to tune in tonight. And Mo Hill 93. Both those guys are. They're born.
But it's not Northern Indiana. You know what I mean? If you grew up in Northern Indiana, you're a Notre Dame.
It's like the people who grew up in Ohio and are like, "Well, I'm just an Ohio State fan because I grew up in Ohio." Like what? Right? Like that's. Purdue fans are there, and the vast majority went to Purdue, and that's why they care about them. And I love being a part of that. And there's nobody like, I don't care. Hate them. It made that win. Honestly, it was so fun to hear stupid people taking shots at Purdue online the last day or two, because this is a case where you can't take a shot at anything. Like I just rattled off, the stats do not suggest it was ugly. They don't suggest it was a fluke. They don't suggest it was Edie getting all the calls. Like, there's none of those narratives hold any water, and it's not like Purdue beat bad teams. Grambling State was it for a 16. They were a hell of a lot better than FDU, hell of a lot better team than FDU.
100 higher.
And,
right?
Yeah, way more athletic, way hungrier, way better team. And Utah State, which I thought, okay, Purdue got the best 8-9 that they could have asked for, I thought. But Utah State, as you pointed out, was 20th in the country.
Yeah.
Well-coached. Played real basketball. I watched your postgame, and somebody made a great point in there, and you agreed with them. They didn't play a crappy brand of basketball. They weren't dirty. They weren't hitting after the whistle. It was a really respectable. They had no problem. They knew, okay, we're gonna try this.
You guys saw Johnny Hill is on the coaching staff there, right? Mm-hmm. That's something I didn't talk about at all in my postgame. I thought that was freaking awesome. I don't know if you saw PJ and he dabbing it up like before and after the game.
Painter and Ray Davis was giving him a hard time. He was texting him beforehand. I love that stuff. And
Painter was talking about it. He was saying that I think pregame he was saying that what if I talked to him about? I tried to get him to not be a coach, but then once he insisted on being one, I've tried to help him kind of whatever I can. And like, you know, like spoke kind of glowingly, you know, about him. Grambling State's head coach, I don't think has ever like has a close relationship with Painter, but he spoke glowingly of him. And he talked about
it was
Painter,
all like he had talked to him at multiple coaching clinics and things like that. Right. That was cool.
Being like an informal kind of mentor at these kind of, you know, these clinics. I mean, and then you got the kind of, the fake gotcha question, you know, that, you know, for a more experienced reporter rather than a student reporter may have been phrased a little bit differently, but that didn't work. And right. Painter gave that kind of perfect response that really praised Danny Sprinkles. But Sprinkle.
So do you think Johnny Hill travels with Sprinkle to his next job in Washington?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, I think so. Because from what Johnny Hill was saying, which guy, Pete Guy's name and dudes guy in Johnny Hill, like, like 10 years from now, we're going to be talking about Johnny Hill and it'll be incredible. In a setting like J Money is right now.
Awesome.
But I think Sprinkle played against a team where Johnny Hill was an assistant coach while he was at Montana State, like while he was in the Big Sky, and that is how they connected, and then they ended up there. So I bet, like, he could end up back in the Big Ten, man. That'd be fun.
That'd be cool. Yeah,
a Big Ten rivalry.
Yeah. I also like what Sprinkle.
Deep rivalry.
what Sprinkle said too, which was what I think a lot of coaches maybe haven't said outright, but because you're never going to say in a post game or even a pregame, you're never going to say, well, here's how you beat Purdue. But they do know the formula. You try to, like, you go after Edie, you try to limit what he can do, and you hope the rest of the team doesn't hit shots, right? That's how FDU won. So when Purdue's had losses, that's usually what happens. And I think Sprinkle acknowledged that. He said, we were going to try to play Edie tough. And he goes, but the problem is when you kick it out and those guys start hitting
they
shots.
They collapse four many times. Like what, many
right.
Times.
But I respect it because he's thinking, okay, if we do this and it limits Edie and they don't hit, now we've got a chance, right? You have to start the avalanche somehow, right? And it didn't. It just didn't happen. And he made a good point. He said, we played well for 10 or 12 minutes. I mean, we held it close. And then they stopped hitting shots, right? That's the other thing. The other part of that formula is you also have to hit shots.
Like, what's funny, there's like a runs metric, so it's like how many times you actually go on a kind of scoring run. And what's funny is that Purdue, like, they map it against like offensive efficiency and like how much you give up runs. Purdue doesn't give up any, and Purdue doesn't actually go on that many. Purdue just bludgeons you to death. Like, this is what, like, that is Purdue's offense. It's consistent, and it kind of, this year. And that was a big, that's a huge difference, obviously, for the Purdue fans that have been with us this far. That's the big difference between Purdue last year, Purdue this year. It is just a constant kind of offensive barrage. We credited that to Braden Smith's growth, but Braden Smith saw some bench time in key minutes in the first half against Utah State, and Purdue's offense was still rolling. I thought that was really good. I mean,
that was probably my favorite thing of the game.
Oh, you talk about, I mean, like, Fletcher Lawyer had a great game, I thought, last night. Again, the stat line won't necessarily say it, but I thought he was in, like, very much control. He was confident. He was everything that we want to see that he wasn't last year against FDU and, like, late, you know, basically any time after January. Yeah. And then off the bench, man, Miles and Heidi, like, like, all of a sudden, I know you're talking about Painter sandbagging them, you know, during the thing, but I do think it takes that much longer. And I did like the theory about, if you don't hit the freshman wall if you don't play that much.
Yeah, I love that. I hadn't thought about that. I was like, that's fun. That's if you really want to dig into conspiracy, let's go.
But I'd actually love to see, if Cobra's here, I'd love to see some stats on that. But, like, I do think that Painter's system is pretty complex, and especially for Miles, who this is true freshman year. You know, it was unexpected for him to even for as talented as he is, to absorb it this quickly, and he has. And now he's a real contributor. And then, you know, that last game was like everything that we wanted from a Trey Kaufman Wren game, right? Which was just like aggressive, confident, like sure hands, like good defense, and then was scoring and cleaning up, was hitting free throws. Like, after everything that dude has done for the team, which is like, he was a consensus 4-star, like, you know, I think he was somewhere ranked in like 50s, 60s, maybe like 40s through 60s, something like that, in the country. He redshirted it. To do that, to be a border, to be, let's say, a top 75 recruit, and to willingly take a redshirt and then willingly take the backseat for 2 years, like, it's like, you know, I was really just happy to see, like, him get that.
So, is it too early to look at Gonzaga? Should we talk a little bit more about Purdue? Because I'm ready to talk about Gonzaga.
The only other thing I'll say, you guys just brought up Braden Smith and the team humming along even when he wasn't in. Braden Smith has not played a very good tournament yet.
Nope.
And I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying he hasn't had his game yet.
Yeah, I think Dowd kind of touched on this in the post game yesterday, but I don't know if you wanted to actually say this out loud. I don't think Purdue's played anywhere near as good as Purdue can play. No, again, no. I think Purdue can play a lot worse. Like, I think that there is a,
of course,
like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not that they're playing at the baseline, but that has me worried, like, going forward, playing the next four good
all
teams,
of them are
but,
showing, led by Edie. Oh, like, that's not an act. You can tell when teams are, like, kind of trying to put on a, like, that's they are resolved and resolute, as Boiler Dad would like to say.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, so yeah, could they lose? Of course any team left is good, right?
Oh yeah.
But what have we said? I mean, I said it to you guys, like, I've been saying this for like a year. When was the last time Purdue lost to a good team? The truth is they play their best against good teams. So maybe we said it a few too many times, because now we're getting What we
I mean, now I'm nervous, man.
You got good team, good team. You got nothing left but good teams.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Playing well.
But that's the Dan Patrick show. Wally Szczerbiak is making the rounds. He's been on Rome.
I saw his appearance there today. He was pretty complimentary of Purdue.
He was very complimentary of Purdue, almost like he didn't want anybody to know how dumb he sounded when he picked against him twice.
That's it.
I mean, like, and the other thing, the things he says are really easy statements. And if you really dig at them, you're like, okay, that's not really that smart. But he's an example that you can get by just being like somewhat handsome and not being very good at your job.
Yeah, I did like Dan Patrick was talking about his dad being a coach. Did you catch this? And he goes, did your dad also not play any defense? Like, wow. It's like Dan can get away with that kind of stuff. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think there's, Anish and I went back and forth in a quick exchange on the sidebar, you know, and I was confident and I still am confident. I like Purdue versus Gonzaga for a couple of reasons, but I think Gonzaga is dangerous as hell if you let your guard down.
I mean, they're great. Yeah, they're great.
They're playing their best.
I was going to say that's what we should say.
That team was talking about like this year. About them maybe not making the tournament like a month and a half ago. Because they were looking a little shaky, and then they just went on an absolute tear.
They're playing their best ball, but they lost during the finals, I think it was, or the semifinals. I don't know.
Of their tournament? Western, yeah, they lost St. Mary's.
The strange kind of tournament that basically puts them into the quarterfinals.
Them and St. Mary's in the final, automatically. Yeah, exactly.
But they've
nine-game
been
win streak before that.
Yeah, I mean, pretty they've good. Been playing excellent basketball.
I think, boiler, for all your disdain of Gonzaga, I feel like you've acknowledged many times that Skeletor is a very good coach, though.
Oh, yeah, he's a good coach, no doubt. And he's really good at finding talent where other people don't find it. I mean, I think he's a good coach. I'm not going to – and he's a great in-game coach.
Oh, yes.
But the thing that I do not respect about Gonzaga still exists, and that's the fact that they play in that conference. I mean, like – I'm sorry. I look at that schedule and you can say, okay, well, they won nine straight. Purdue won nine straight. That's Purdue's best streak. Let's look at their streak if you want to really talk about that. Portland State's in that, or Portland, whatever they call them now.
But to be fair, a Kentucky away game is also in that streak, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good if you got the Kentucky that was good. I mean, like, Kentucky clearly wasn't thinking about playing defense that day.
But wasn't it
It was at Kentucky.
Yeah,
it was at Kentucky. I mean, that's still pretty.
I'm telling it's a good game, but Loyola, Marymount, Pacific, Portland, Santa Clara, San Francisco. Then they play St. Mary's, and they go back to San Francisco. Okay, congratulations again. You can get up for one game every 8 to 9 games. But Go join a conference. Do what Houston did and prove it to me. Because Houston, what they've done this year, I'm like, okay, damn. I never thought the Mountain West was weak, though. Wasn't that what they were before?
Houston? No, they were current the Conference USA.
Yeah, they were. They were something. Who knows?
AAU.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, that one.
Whatever it was.
He still has better competition than what Gonzaga plays.
Oh yeah,
Gonzaga.
But they stepped into the Big 12.
Every other year, you hear that Gonzaga's like flirting with a conference, and then
Gonzaga.
Nine straight second weekends though. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's the other thing.
It's good. But I think let's look at what they have been ranked versus where they've got, right? They're really a very similar program to Purdue.
For the most part, they play to their seed.
Well, and if you want to go deeper on the rabbit hole of the conference isn't that tough, like you might extrapolate that and say, well, maybe you're fresh in March because
they should be. Yeah.
You could certainly argue that.
But they're playing their best basketball.
Two things can be true. They can be good.
Yeah. On paper, they match up really well. Like Purdue matches up really well. Ike, or I think, is that
245, 6'9", 245.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, he's a beast. Like, he's a big boy, but like, right. Zach should be able to handle it.
7'4", 310.
They've got players who have been shooting. Like, their wing players have been shooting the lights out.
The thing that I'm impressed with more about Gonzaga than anything is the fact you've got six guys that score almost 10 points a game.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome, right? Yeah. And it shows that they've got a good rotation. There's a bit of a drop off after that six man. But that's a good rotation. That's
what you want, because if they get in any foul trouble and there's a drop off after their sixth guy, that's good news.
That's been the rap on them all year, which is that they've got talent, but they have no depth. And so like that's, you know, Purdue beat them in a kind of a war of attrition, like, you know, last time, but then it kind of got into the fairly comfortable kind of, close enough win. You know what I mean?
10-point win, right?
Yeah, something
about those wins, about beating. They could, you know, that fun little thing where they could have the same path that they had in Maui. Let's just, for those of you who, there's people probably worried about beating teams again that you already faced.
Sure.
Makes me nervous. I'm one of them.
Okay. What I'll say, though, is that was so long ago.
That was a long
time. Like, that's like saying, oh, you played a team last season, and now you – it was so long ago. These teams are not the same. They aren't the same. Purdue's not the same. Like, we didn't know what Purdue was going to be this year.
Lance Jones really hadn't hit his stride.
Right. Like, I think that's 30 games ago. Right?
I mean, like, and I don't think Heidi or Colvin were in the rotation.
No,
you know, they were not
at all.
They were
so not. And now I think that they're going to be relied on a lot. Actually, I think Heidi is going to see major minutes. He's basically taken Ethan Morton's spot in the rotation. And so, but then the other part of that is that, hey, if he's not hitting, you can bring Ethan Morton on for some nice five good defensive minutes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's an embarrassment of riches at that point. But you have to let it get to that point. It has to get to that point where Gonzaga is in foul trouble and kind of, you know, struggling there. The biggest thing, we talked about this before, I think, you know, you were talking about rebounds, like hitting their shot, like Purdue's got to hit their shots. To me, it is that, you know, Michael and I talked about it, Painter's mentioned it ad nauseum, but the turnover thing, the way to beat Purdue is to collapse on Zach Edey and force them into fast break turnovers. And all of a sudden, like, you're getting free points. The defense isn't set. Edey isn't clogging the middle. And, you know, there's a, you know, Painter says it's 13 or 14. For me, I counted 12 turnovers gets Purdue into hot water, and I don't want to be there.
You're teetering there, definitely at 12.
Exactly. So it's like less than 12, and that's where you want to be. Gonzaga typically doesn't force turnovers. They usually play teams straight up. They're a similar profile to Purdue, except they don't have the size of Zach. Again, on paper, the matchup is good, but like, they're familiar with Purdue. The one thing, though, Jay Money, to your point, and then like you had something else, but to your point, I don't think Zach and this team takes it for granted that they won 3 months ago against the team, like past Purdue teams may have, right? That would make it difficult to beat a team, you know, twice in a year. Same thing, like beat Illinois, what, twice this year?
Twice.
There's the other stat, which is that Purdue is 7-0 against six of the top of the final 16 teams that are left standing.
I will say, I don't want Illinois again. I'm not afraid of them.
Great.
I don't want
to. Because
you would meet them in the Final Four, and I don't want to deal with
it. Meet them in the championship, wouldn't they?
I think it'd be the championship, yeah. So hopefully that's not
an issue. I'll take it.
Of course. Hell yeah.
I'll try to win the lottery. I'll try to win the lottery once. We have a guest, it looks like.
A guest? I've been downgraded to the status of a guest.
Well, we didn't know. You didn't.
Some of
you
our guests appear more than you. So.
This is the second consecutive podcast that I've joined. So please,
it's a record.
Put some respect on my name.
It's almost as impressive as Gonzaga's 9-year second weekend streak. It's pretty good, Michael. Two podcasts in a row.
Yeah. Oh, look at Jay.
You're late. We've already been through all this.
Okay, I'll save my jokes.
What jokes do you have?
No, I mean you're looking like a mogul, like a Purdue mogul, like Orville Redenbacher himself.
Pool full of popcorn behind him.
Exactly.
I've often been compared to the most handsome Purdue grad. Yeah. So what do you have for us? Since you butted into our conversation.
Confidence. What I have is confidence.
That's awesome. Hey, you've been exuding a lot of confidence.
You actually said in our group chat, and I don't know if it was facetious or not, you said Purdue by 40 in the second round. You said,
I did.
That morning you said Purdue by 40 today.
I did.
And they won by 39. So nice try.
Yeah. So
if the price is almost, right.
But close doesn't count.
Yes,
for nothing. No. We demand precision around here.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well,
I know there's some facetiousness with the level of confidence you've had, but I also know
a little.
That's not usual for you to be.
Yeah, that's true.
I usually I'm a little bit more on the realistic side.
Yeah.
But I really do feel really good about this team. I feel really good about I think I said this in the last podcast, but I feel that most teams except for UConn can play their absolute best against mm-hmm. Purdue and still lose.
Yep.
And I don't think I would have said that in any previous tournament. That right. doesn't guarantee that they're going to win, of course.
Correct. I get you.
It just means that this team is that locked in and that good. And I love that second half against Utah State where Edie has two points and the rest of the team had 55.
More than they had in the first half. When it would be natural to take your foot off the gas.
And I tweeted about that and got like one of my highest engagement tweets on that. I mean, people are noticing that this team
all
is
about not clicks with you, huh? Well,
you tweet so
that's how you make your money, though, Michael.
You only tweet home runs at this point. I mean,
it's all because I rarely tweet.
That's right. You save up all the idea to boom, it comes out like a super weapon.
I do get fired up though because I see these folks who supposedly follow college basketball as their job.
ISO, go for it.
We covered this, but I would like to hear your take.
Yes, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. ISO.
and it's like, okay, maybe you've seen Purdue play, maybe you haven't. I'm guessing probably you haven't. And you hear this narrative that it's all Purdue does is just throw the ball into Edie and he fouls out the other team and then he scores on a bunch of like 6-7 dudes and gets his 30 and 20 and it's like it's not real basketball, it's ugly or whatever. And it's like, okay, if you've paid even the slightest bit of attention to Purdue at any point in the season, they've gotten better. They haven't changed who they are. Purdue has gotten better, but they haven't changed who they are. So if you would tune into any game against any meaningful opponent, so anyone in the conference and then anyone outside of the real like low majors in the non-con, you would see a Purdue team that has a variety of ways to hurt you. And Edie is a huge part of that, obviously. Opens up a lot of things, but Purdue can run on teams without Edie going nuts. And if you are touting as some in the media, although I don't know if Barstool technically counts as like media. They're more.
Did you hear like, that gushing by Barstool though?
Who? No, Barstool? Thank you. I don't need to. I'm good. I'm good.
No, the head guy, whatever the douchebag is at the top.
Don't ever listen to anything Portnoy says ever. It'll make you stupider and more racist.
Yeah. Yes.
Possible.
You're telling on yourself. If you're Mark Titus and you're talking about Purdue being a boring, slow team, you're announcing
that you don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what you're talking about. And that's like, again, Purdue is not flawless. Purdue can be beaten, especially if they turn the ball over. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to beat every team by 40, although I'll probably tweet that for every game here on out. But you're telling on yourself that you are either like – bad at your job or lazy, not doing what you're supposed to be doing, supposedly,
bingo.
Or you are trying to drive up engagement by saying things that are false on purpose. I watched, you know, unfortunately, like a lot of non-names on like Instagram talking about Utah State beating Purdue and all of that sort of stuff. And like, those are idiots, but they are, I don't expect them to be anything other than, you know, I watch college basketball too. It doesn't make me an expert. But if you,
I think you just hit on something, by the way, that we were talking about before you came on that, you know, I said, there's an immense amount of hate in the interwebs towards Purdue. And these guys said, no, it's only two guys. And I keep saying, I know you didn't say that. They said it's virtual and it's fake and it's drummed up. But I think what you just said, somebody in the margin said Reddit hates Purdue. But I think what you're saying, and it all makes sense. It's just group think, really, right? Yeah. And everybody having internet muscles. And if you follow Barstool and you're like, hey, they say Purdue sucks and they're boring. Let's all jump on that because this is really easy. And when we get all in our echo chamber, this is what we're going to talk about.
And that's natural, isn't it? Like, if I don't know about you, but I've caught myself. I'll listen to like a bunch of, you know, YouTubers or I'll watch recaps because you can't get enough when things are fun. And I'll hear something and then I'll hear myself say it like on here or like a tidbit from it, right? You'll pull. Now, if it's a statistical tidbit, then that's less about opinion and that's more about here's what actually happened in a game. But it's so easy to like retain something that you wanted to hear,
yeah,
and then say it and be like, that's my opinion too. So right. To your point, that's exactly what happens. The groupthink is so easy. It's so, yeah. I'm not saying it's not understandable that that's what happens, but you should try thinking for yourself is so great.
Or just so acknowledge what you don't really know, because like, do what I
know everything
in depth knowledge of Alabama basketball? I don't. Yeah, right. Like, I've seen one or two games. I'm not an expert. And I honestly can't really predict how good Michael, or how bad they're
going. Michael, when we saw Purdue about to play Alabama, we were all like, oh crap, they're pretty good. We were all like concerned about how they're coached, how they play, how athletic they are. We were like, ooh, okay. And we talked with respect about that, even if we don't like a program. The only program I feel like the programs that we say, man, that is crappy, ugly, unfun Wisconsin basketball, are programs we watch all the time.
We have a lot of familiarity
with. Yes.
Like I've got, you know, decades of experience watching Wisconsin.
Right.
Just commit.
That's not coming from a place of not knowing what you're talking about. Right. It's coming from having watched them many times.
But I think the other part here too is there is like Reddit does hate Purdue basketball. And somehow I still sleep okay at night. And the thing is that I think
I love it.
If you suck or you're just kind of okay, like no one hates you, right? People hate Purdue because Purdue is a good team. And Purdue will score 106 points on you in the second round.
And that like was the 20th ranked team in the country.
Yeah.
That keeps rattling around in my head that was not a crappy, barely qualified team. That was a good team, well coached, that won their league. They were 28-7.
We'll see more of that coach next season.
It was pretty consensus that Utah State was underseeded, right? I mean, like, that was the big thing. And so if they would have ended up at a 6 or something like that, I mean, like, then they would have, they, you know, they,
it's an odd defense, isn't it, to say, I mean, and I heard what's his nuts from CBS talking about this today. I watched this afternoon. He said, yeah, they were underseeded, and he said nothing in the tournament hurts or helps my argument afterwards. I always just like, okay, that was now. This is, you know, that was then. This is now. The problem with it is you say they're underseeded and then they look like they don't belong playing Purdue. That's kind of, I would say that hurts your point, right?
Well, or it's kind of building up what, you know, Purdue ended up doing to Utah State that game, right? I mean, like, it just shows that you're kind of playing that, you know, at that level. I mean, at this point, and, you know, to Michael's point, like, Houston almost collapsed. The only two teams really that are playing at that level, again, two games in, so it doesn't mean anything, are Purdue and UConn.
Can you bring up Brad Eban's comment? This pulls this out even further. So it makes it not just one cult of personality or a person who's a, you know, a lot of people see, but Brad Eban says, we're so passionate as a fan base, Barstool, Levitard, Aaron Torres got so many clicks from us. Okay. But all of those are pretty mainstream platforms. These are people with a big megaphone talking. Right. And so the funny thing, I mean, we've heard some pretty like mean-spirited stuff from these people where you're like, what the hell? I went on Aaron Torres's Twitter feed and I just went down there and I was like, he had 5 or 6 groups of tweets in a row talking about why Zach Edey sucks. And I'm like,
I just keep replying to people that he's the best player in college basketball. That's what I keep telling people.
If we win the title, I'm okay with it. If we win the title, I'm okay with it. Which is,
I'm not okay with any of it. I'll be honest. Like, I feel like, and I don't feel like I need to protect his honor, but I'm like, you're a bastard. This kid does things well. This is one of the bright shining stars of yeah, exactly. Build up Filipowski and then break down Zach Edey. And all Zach Edey has to do is act like he's not human, be stone faced all the time because you're going to be hurling insults at him. I'm sorry. That's not right. That is not right at all. And that stuff is where I get burnt up because I'm like, we haven't heard stories of, nobody has a story of Zach Edey being a jerk off court. I haven't heard one of them. Yep. In fact, I hear great stories. And then I hear people amazed. By the way, there's one more thing, Jay. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know if you guys, have you guys heard the Grambling cheerleader story yet? This is good.
Mm-mm. No.
Okay.
No.
So this was from In the Arena that Edey, so he, let's see, how did it work? So he went over, he spoke with the guys in post game, right? And then he had to go into the media room, right? So they had to rush him off the court, okay? Right before he's rushing off the court, the Grambling cheerleaders stopped him. They said, can we get a picture with you? And all I could think of was the Dream Team, right? The celebrity status there, right? That type of stuff makes people hate you, right? Because you've got the Grambling cheerleading squad says, we want this guy's pretty interesting. The fact that he's big and he's nice to people.
As you said, the players and coaches that he plays, nobody comes away being like, what a dick that guy is. Nobody.
It's even the play style, even the fouls drawn. I mean, really, the only one that's complained about it is what's his nuts for Brad. Wisconsin's coach, Greg Gard. Mm-hmm. Really, Greg Gard is the only one who's complained, and nobody greasy. Cares.
Well, yeah, Colin's
some pork.
Dan Le Batard surprised me.
It did.
Me too. Most of the time, he's fine.
Me
but
too.
He went on,
and the way he hit it, he hit it really hard,
personal,
man.
Really personal on Zach Edey. And it's surprising because if you say that, I mean, you can have a conversation about Zach Edey being dominant because physically he overpowers the opponent. That's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. And it's you want to talk about the basketball implications of that. That's fine. But to like turn that again into like a morality.
He said they were a plague.
Yeah.
He said they were a plague.
Yeah.
And he was a plague.
It's like, okay, like what's really going on here? Like, why are you this worked up about this?
That's my point. Like, and if you want to counterpunch, like I feel like I need to all day long. Like I'm just like, just speak logically for a second. Tell me, like the people, give me one thing he does well other than being 7'4". I can give you 10 things he does well other than 7'4". And I eviscerate
watch a game
on Twitter.
Watch a game.
Free throws. Like that's an easy one. He's a 74% free throw shooter.
Let's not even watch him with the ball. Watch him run the floor and screen and box out, which is probably what he's going to do. Running the floor, boxing out, high screen, like the actual contact he sets on his screens and the space he creates when it's team rebounding. Don't watch him with the ball because that's going to be his role in the NBA. Don't watch him with the ball. Those are elite skills that he has. With the size he has, I mean, like he's running the floor better than wings.
And Zerbiak acknowledged on that Dan Patrick appearance that Edey can be effective in the NBA. He said if he's in position and he has his hands up, that's going to affect shots.
I don't care about his NBA prospects.
Yeah.
Because
I know. I get it.
Just to remind people, like, this is college basketball.
College basketball. But that's the thing. To see his greatness, don't watch him with the ball. You want to see him with the ball. Like, you want to see how great he is with the ball. Watch any highlight. Look at any stat line. Literally every stat line you see from him is otherworldly. But his skills without the ball are like real and stand out different than kind of everybody like that's trying
you
to
saw the one play in each that where they isolated him in on him on a secondary break getting up the court. He beat two Utah State a guard and a wing up the court. Like I was like that's impressive. Like he kind of hit the gas and he got right to the hoop.
It's kind of impressive on two. It's impressive on two levels, though, right? It's impressive because a 7'4 player that can do that after the amount of minutes that he's been playing. Right. But it's also impressive that the one seed on a Final Four favorite team, after 2 years of dominance, with a pretty comfortable lead against an 8 seed, still feels like they need to kind of run the floor.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing.
That's
Michael.
IU diving on the floor play, right?
Yeah.
That's the same thing. And that's an attitude that's been cemented over and over this season by this team. The way they work together. And this is where Zach Edey's lead by example style, you know, just his leadership style, right? This is what it's cemented the whole program after. That's the thing. I know, like, the culture was already really, really good. But now you've got guys saying, okay, we just had a two-time player of the year come through here that he busted his ass more than anybody.
My favorite is Painter. Whenever he would see people shooting after Carson came, he was like, you don't practice as much as him. Like, if you practice, if you shoot as many times as Carson did, yeah, sure, then you can go ahead. But I don't see you doing that. Yeah. I mean, it was the thing. Like, I don't see you working as hard as – I don't see you working as hard as Biggie, as Swanigan did here. So it's like, of course you're not going to be. That's the thing that kind of Zach is – like, Zach is now in that, right? And he may be the best example of it, which is like, you know – he always talks about, you know, he wasn't recruited and that being a big part of it. And I think, I mean, you know, especially for Carson as well, it was like Carson wasn't heavily recruited and he kind of turned into a flamethrower here at Purdue. I mean, obviously everybody knows Zach's story, which, by the way, enjoy it. Enjoy every hockey mention, enjoy every pitching mention, enjoy every skating picture, enjoy every one of the same stories we've heard millions of times, because we're only going to get maybe two more weeks of this. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, like, just savor it. Every story, like it's the first time you've heard it, because it's an incredible story and it's fun. That's the fun part about, that's why, I know J-Money's talked about this. That's why we want, I want four more wins. I know you don't not want four more wins. Yeah. But I want it more than two. But I understand why that concentration of story and attention that you get during Final Four week is. You'll see the Zach story being told, because it is one of the great stories in college basketball history.
And then rest easy, because if you have accomplished that, you're going to go into the national semifinal as the favorite. The only team that I think they might not be favored against is UConn.
It's UConn.
And we've talked about this. Yeah. And I'm fine with that because
they're a buzzsaw.
I mean, because they're a buzzsaw, but if that occurs,
the two buzzsaws meet.
Well, that's it. If it occurs, then Purdue has been that as well.
Yep.
So I'll take it. And
I mean, I think we're used to Purdue us having to make the argument that Purdue is or could be better than what you see on the court, right? Like, this is a thing. Like, last year was one of those, to be honest. It's like, we actually have guys who can shoot. They're not shooting very well, but, like, I promise, like, they can shoot. That's been an argument that I've heard.
Right, that's the painter all last season. No, really, they're good shooters.
And it's like, until they do it. But this team is as good as you see. I don't have to exaggerate anything. We've got the two-time National Player of the Year, presumptive. We have another kid who was a finalist for the Bob Cousy Award and a first team All Big Ten. And we have the Big Ten sixth man of the year and the head coach of the year. Like, all of these things paint a pretty nice picture of how good
masterpiece
Purdue is. And then you look back and see who they've beaten. They've beat Arizona. They beat Gonzaga. They beat Tennessee. They've done the thing. And this wasn't a 4 overtime last second shot, boy, they got lucky thing. This was 10 point plus wins against very good teams.
It's something that could be sustainable in a rematch if they see them, you know, again in the tournament, which they might.
Like, Gonzaga is a different team now than they are before, but Purdue hasn't changed, but has gotten better. And the other point I want to make here is last year is a good example of a team where if one of your top three guys doesn't have a good game, Purdue's going to lose, right? And that was very evident last year. That was evident in like Sasha Stevanovich had a rough NCAA tournament and they lost. Like, this is the thing. It's like, oh, well, Purdue, the margin of error is a little bit tighter than what we would like. If Fletcher Lawyer doesn't have a great game, if Braden Smith doesn't have a great game, it would take four plus guys having bad games in order for Purdue to really be in danger. The wild card here, of course, I think is that as a team, the way you beat Purdue is you turn Purdue over. If you get 14 or more turnovers against Purdue, Purdue is in a really rough spot. And then, like, after that, like, there isn't anything else. That's the only thing.
Well, just to throw a couple quick things at you, Utah State actually had fewer turnovers than Purdue. So this is another thing that's crazy. It was 9-8. It's not like Utah State was sloppy or, you know, they just didn't have – they were overmatched. They didn't shoot real well.
They shot real poorly, didn't they?
Yeah.
They
but they didn't turn the ball over. They weren't sloppy with it. The fouls were –
what did they shoot from the field? What percentage?
36%.
It's not as bad as I thought it was.
Not as bad. Right. And – but you look at Purdue, like I said this, Michael, before you jumped on, Braden Smith still has not had a good tournament game. And I look at that as a, like, it's coming. You know it's coming. He's going to have his game, and he hasn't yet. And they've not even – they won by, what, 28 and 39?
It would be fun if it came against the team that kind of came after him for a good reason. I mean, because Braden's a great player. They came after him in NIL. But like I'm not a fan. Again, in this era of college basketball, if you're not trying to get poached, you don't have good players. Like that is what it is. Like I want Braden to show out against Gonzaga. I mean that would be fun.
Also, Lance has not had
played well, but he's also still contributing.
You know, his defense, he stopped Martinez. Yeah. He stopped him. He like dead in his tracks. Martinez was looking really good, and then all of a sudden you're like screeching halt. But Heidi threw a couple wrenches at him too, which was great to see.
Well, so Nembhard on Gonzaga. I mean, that's going to be that's going to be Lance's assignment. I think
I like that. That's the thing. People keep talking to me about him. I'm like, he's not his brother. Like, right. He's not his brother. And I like Lance Jones in that matchup.
I actually think Purdue matches up very well against Gonzaga. Again, that's not to say Purdue can't lose. Gonzaga's a really good team, and they're on a hot streak. But like Purdue should be like, again, Gonzaga to Michael's point doesn't really force people into turnovers, right? Like that's not part of their defense, and that's like the kind of people that you get. Kind of nervous about.
Yeah, what the hell is that doing?
I don't know what he's. Well, we took a visit to the Triangle.
Is it sure it's tough?
Good.
North Carolina? Is it North Carolina shirt?
I have to admit, I kind of dig this shirt. Yeah, well, I mean, it's a good.
Okay. He's coming back. Well, peer pressure. He just faded under it. every campus that we visited, because we went to the Triangle, went to NC State and UNC. He went to Illinois, he went to Colorado, he went to Baylor. Of course, you got Purdue, you got Cincinnati, but he got a t-shirt at every one of them. So he's got like a pretty sick collection of these, because that's all he wanted to do. He's like, give me a shirt. So it's a cool shirt.
You're way more generous than my father, who, when I approached him and said, I've got a list of schools that I would like to think about going to, he, without looking up, said that you're going to Purdue, and then kept reading whatever it was that he was reading. So he was like, he told me that I wanted to,
he was reading the Star or News, I'm sure, right?
That I could pay for the fee to like submit an application, but that just to know that the only school he was going to pay for was Purdue.
That's fair. I mean, but let's be honest. Where did Little Boiler Down end up going to? So it was all a ruse. Letting him go to places and buy shirts and all that. That was
my whole thing. I'll be real honest, and I can tell him the tactic now. And I think he knew it. I think I showed my cards early. But my whole thing was, I want you to choose Purdue, and I want you to look at really good options. I want it to be your choice. I want it to be good choices. I want you to make the right choice, but I want it to be yours, right? I mean, that's the thing. Like,
did you sweat a little bit when you got the tuition breakdown from Baylor, which I think is like the third most expensive school?
I can say Baylor wasn't.
They gave me half.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he got a lot of that.
It was still like triple or 10.
Because it's like 65 a year.
Good gracious.
Yeah, Wake Forest is one we didn't even visit because we're like, okay, that's dumb. Like that's stupid. Like I saw the numbers, I was like, they're more than Duke, and Duke wouldn't. He was like, I don't want to go Duke. He's pretty frugal, and we've got a deal. We're not going to get into the finances, but we're both going to have skin in the game when he goes to college, right? And so, depending upon what he chose and which places, he's like the three of you guys. He's a smart guy. He's not like his dad. So he actually got really good offers from places, and some of them he just turned them down. So, but
I mean, that's smart. Let's see. I was in my mid 30s before I paid off the family student loans. So yeah, good choice.
Yeah. And then you took that loan out from me for a car, which was weird. I don't know why you.
Well, I told you it was for a car, but I never actually told you what it was for.
I gave you $30,000.
We put it to interesting use. Let's just put it that way.
Look at the room he's sitting in.
A lot of chickens happening.
A lot of chickens. Well, so it's not just the chickens.
When we hung up from the last, when we went off the air, I should tell everyone here just briefly. Michael told several stories about murdering fowl. So
I got to tell you, my respect level for you, it was high. And it went, I was like, holy moly.
He's more of a man than you realize.
He is a bad dude.
Is that an invitation to tell the story, or are we
doing that? No, we'll do Michael's corner. We've got to keep to save this for the off season.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I'd love to do it.
That'd be a great off season podcast.
We get boiled shorts.
He literally told us how you kill a chicken.
But don't go. Don't give it. It's a good story.
Yeah, no. I wanted to tease it. There's multiple ways.
All I'm going to say about that story, and I'm happy to have a Michael's corner this summer to talk about, but all I will say is, when you do what I did, you have to be very careful about who you tell that story. That's all I'm gonna say about what happened there.
By the way, someone asked, that's a good opportunity. Someone said if they were hungry and they're on campus, and they actually said if they were near the fire station, where should they go?
I mean, if you're near the fire station, you're already smelling some delicious.
Let me.
Man, you're smelling some mac and cheese bites.
I know a place.
Where would you go?
I know a place.
I think I would go to AJ's.
I know I'd go to AJ's. I wouldn't even think about it. My nose would pull me in, and then my mouth would be so happy.
LBD is already getting the NIL deal from AJ's.
Yeah.
He already told me that my son has a job when he gets to Purdue. So, Mike, I don't know if you got that offer. You'll probably be busy studying, as will my son, because he's smarter than me as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was already offered a job at AJ's. So that's nice.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty great. I just thought of something you told me the other day, okay. Yeah. I'm going to bring that back. I'm not going to put too much stuff from behind the curtain, but anyway, the whole thing about LBD going to Purdue is that I know everybody thinks that like I was dragging him by his nose, or there was one option. I don't think that's fair. Do you?
No.
All right, I'm not that type of guy. I know everybody thinks I am. I'm really not, and I'm totally excited about him going. But that's the funny thing. Like, we went on all these other campus visits, and I'd wear Purdue gear.
Oh yeah, that's a given. Obviously. Yeah. I think it still surprises some people at Pitt that I'm a Purdue alum, and I think that speaks well to me, right? Like, I'm not being obnoxious about it, I think, because like, otherwise,
I see. They're surprised, you know what I mean? When they find out.
Exactly. It still comes as a surprise. I'm able to keep a little bit of a veneer here of professionalism, and you know, that I got a home field Pitt hoodie over there. That's you know, that's my work hoodie, but yeah, exactly. It's nice. It's big.
People don't know you as a Purdue guy automatically.
I try not to make.
And he tries to go vanilla on his personality.
Yeah, work. I don't. Yeah, exactly. There are a few people that know my alter ego online, but you know, it is what it is. But yeah, we're almost. I know that we pledged to get close to an hour on podcast instead of an hour.
If we could stay under 90 minutes,
let me ask you guys about something real quickly. I think this is a good question. You guys have all watched the pressers this week about how Painter's acting. I think Painter is so much more sharp and direct. I know he's always been good in press conferences, but am I seeing things? Am I reading into it more than usual? Or has he really got an edge right now?
No, I've got a quick comment, and then I'll answer that. First of all, Anish was clearly trying to bring this home. Dowd interrupts him to ask an open-ended question.
Let's go a half an hour.
I just love that. That was amazing.
But it's a four-minute question. We'll get it done, and we're going to have it one hour and 1 minute.
Yeah, I'll take 3.5 minutes. No, I think he's always been really good, and now he's getting more of that attention. And I think when you ask him like a dumbass question, and you give him the opportunity to show off the type of person that he is, that was fortuitous for his reputation.
Well, yeah. it wasn't just the dumb question about, oh, you're probably going to win tomorrow, right? It was the question that he was asked about the EDB just being tall, and his saying you should have to take a test, and he qualified it well. He said, if you're an official, you should have to understand coaching. If you're a coach, you should have to understand officiating. Right. And he said, if you're on Twitter and you say something stupid, you shouldn't be allowed to tweet for, what did he say, 3 months?
He said 3 months. He's like, society would be better off.
He's completely right. There's nothing he's saying that's wrong. It would be great if it filtered out stupidity. Oh, my goodness.
I want to know who designs the algorithm. That's the only problem I've got.
I think
I've got a lot of opinions.
I think Painter is, though, hitting – he's getting to that comfort level that he's I mean, like, this is his stride, right? Like, you could – you see – you saw him – we saw him grow, like, in multiple kind of phases of the career, right? It was the Baby Boilers phase and then that down, like, the 2012 and 2013 year. And then the kind of Biggie Carson kind of era, and now this ED post ED era. It seems to be that's kind of what everything has kind of, you know, built towards. But it's still strange that, like, he again, like, you know, he still sees himself as the caretaker of the program, but he's not really the coach. Like, he's not the, you know, he's not the face of the program. He doesn't see himself like Kay saw himself at Duke. He doesn't see himself like, well, I mean, like, like Self maybe sees himself as the face of Kansas. He's the current caretaker of Gene Katie's program. And he still kind of handles himself like that, but now he's a little bit more comfortable making fun of the whole kind of process or like standing up and confidently kind of doing this. What I do like is that he manages to make light of some of those press conference situations without belittling the person on the other end, right? Which is often what, you know, a lot of these kind of viral moments do. It, like the kind of it's fun, but the kind of byproduct of that is that it really kind of, you're disrespecting a human on the other side of that, and that kind of is a bad look. Like if you think about it a little bit,
doesn't it kind of depend on the situation? I'm not trying to be a jerk, but if you say something disrespectful, I don't think anything that was asked of Painter was disrespectful.
No, but
some of it was silly, but it wasn't.
No. I'm talking the other way. I think a lot of times they're asked silly questions, and coaches will disrespect.
They'll go the next step.
Exactly. They'll kind of take it too far. It would
have been easy for him to respond to that student reporter by being like, are you kidding me? What kind of question is that? Yeah. What are you doing? All that sort of stuff.
Go on a Bobby Knight. Like, it's a Bobby Knight tirade, right?
Which would have been fair, but instead he conveyed all of that through that awesome German Shepherd head tilt that he did. Like, and then he went into like a very, like, let me explain something to you. It was great. Loved it. It was the perfect way to do this. And Patrick in the comments, he is so good at delivering sarcasm. Like he is that line about Edie being tall. Like it was like seeping out of his mouth, just dripping with sarcasm. It was fantastic. I love that answer.
Yeah, I think there are people that think that he may have even known that question was coming because that's a plant question. That's from one of the brags in the stands. I mean, that's. He didn't feel that one, but I think he wanted to see Painter's response, and I hope maybe he didn't know that. It was awesome though; it was brilliantly crafted, and gave Payne a chance to really get on the stage and do something big there. So, do you think? How about this question? Is Paint going to be able to add a wrinkle enough? Because this, Michael, you hit on something earlier that Purdue is Purdue. Pretty much, they do the same thing they did before. We've seen them add two pieces of personnel. Mark Few is a good coach. The biggest knock on Painter, I think, has been as a coach in the postseason is it's the same Painter, the same Purdue. You know what you're doing. You can counterpunch it. Is it so simple that you can counterpunch it, or is it that Zach Edey is impossible to counterpunch?
Yeah, particularly with the personnel that Gonzaga brings. I don't know what the count and the depth and every and the style of play. I don't know what they will be able to do. Creighton, as you mentioned, Tennessee, they worry me. I mean, like Houston with that aggressive defense, that they worry me. But again, that's kind of further down the road, right? I do think Mark Few is a really good coach, but strangely, again, I'm not worried about this, but that does not mean that I won't be worried like at tip off and that I don't think that Purdue can lose this. Like it's going to be a very good game of two of the kind of better playing teams of the last couple months, but I don't think that Purdue needs to deviate too much from, or will be forced to deviate too much from, you know, their identity on Friday.
The only thing that would cause Painter to implement a wrinkle that we've seen maybe only once or twice this season is if Braden Smith gets into foul trouble and their guards start struggling, bringing the ball up, initiating the offense. And then you start to see him do things like have Lance bring the ball up, and you start to see a little bit more of like a change in personnel, because if Braden's out of the game, he's not really playing very well. Fletcher Lawyer's not great on defense, so then you have to pull like Heidi into guard someone like on the perimeter when really he's really good at that like 3-4. You start to like see that sort of ripple effect, but we've actually seen that a couple of times this season, and they did just fine. So I don't know if there's going to be anything. I don't think they could play 4 more games, and I don't think we could see we're going to see anything that we're like, whoa, we haven't seen this yet this season.
We just looked at how Gonzaga battled the tournament, just because LBD asked a question. Do you guys remember how they got out of the tournament last year?
It was not memorable.
I don't remember. No,
it's memorable.
I mean, but to most people, unless you're a Gonzaga fan, you're not going to remember that game.
Well, I mean, see, Connecticut's path last year, so I just gave it away. It was like, what, 28 points?
Yeah, they played a great Gonzaga played a great game against UCLA. That one was a 3-point game. They won regulation. I think they hit a 3, and then they lost UConn by 30.
But Connecticut's path so interesting last year because they went through the tournament without being challenged, really. Like, look at the differential. It was crazy.
Didn't they win everything double digits? Yep. I feel like every game they won by double digits, which –
you know,
as a 10 seed. Right or as
no,
a
no, no,
no, no, no, no. They were, like I think they were five. 3. Yeah.
Oh, were they that?
Or 4? Yeah, there you go.
I misread the thing. They were ranked 10. But yes.
You know, Duke hasn't lost to a seed higher than them, or is that right?
Yes,
I saw it today since 1995.
And they lost to Purdue.
Yeah.
Or they beat. They haven't. No, that's wrong. They haven't beaten a team that was a.
Oh, that's right. That's what it is. That's
higher right. seed or yeah than them since.
Purdue, big dog,
yeah, but that's because, but that's
yeah.
because
they're never, they're always a one or two or whatever. I mean, like,
right. And then, like, last year they lost in the Final Four to was it last year they lost to UNC? They did, right? No, two years ago,
UNC
didn't have such a great season last year,
That's right, but they didn't have such a great season 2 years ago and they went to the Final Four, they were like an 8. I know this because that's who Purdue would have had to beat if they'd beaten St. Peter's.
Baycott had a really.
How's Baycott still around? He's another one where I'm like, they talk about Baycott. And I'm like, that dude was there 2 years ago making.
Because he's not a super great NBA prospect, and his NIL deal must be.
He's speaking of Gonzaga. He's
well
like
over
Drew
$2 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the what was that? What was the commercial? TurboTax.
Yeah, he's got. He's got.
Oh yeah, the Oakland shooter. Yeah. But
that they filmed in the hallway of the hotel.
It's the best. That is what NIL is for. These rapid deals. Yes, go for it.
No. Did you see Baycott is on a real TurboTax commercial?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys don't watch the commercials, I guess. I mean,
no, thank you.
The best part of the tournament.
That's right. That's what he says. He's like the Super Bowl. I just can't wait for the commercials to be played over and over and over and over and over.
The same 4 commercials. It's great.
We really should do more to support these great networks. Yeah. Try so hard to bring us quality basketball program.
That's right. Yeah, really tune into the commercial. Really enjoy it. Well, guys, I think we did a pretty good job. I'd like to stretch it. I told these guys behind closed doors that I think every Handsome Hour basketball beat should be 3 hours.
Maybe 4.
Maybe 4. Really point. Test the mettle of the listener and see if they how much they really enjoy hearing people talk about nothing.
But since it sounds like you want to wrap, I want to just go around. It's time to let's talk about it. What's going to happen? What is your official
Purdue by
bingo? Just this week. Just
what'd you
Friday.
Say, Michael?
Purdue by 40 on Friday.
I'm hesitant to put this in recording because we all know how this works. I'm not just like Utah State. I am not worried about Gonzaga
nothing
because
we do
on
here
paper
has any impact on it.
Yeah. That doesn't, I got to wear this jersey. I have my undershirt that I wear underneath it. It's all fine. Very well thought out. I think Purdue measures up really well with Gonzaga. I am more concerned about Tennessee. I think if it's Creighton, it'll be a really good game, and Purdue will end up in the Final Four.
Get to the point. Purdue versus Gonzaga. What are you at? None of this.
No. Purdue Gonzaga? Gonzaga, I think it's a double digit one.
All right. That's what I was going for.
Number. Give me a number.
Is it 14? 67. 13.
14.
You are so hard to nail down.
14. He's so slippery. It's like wet spaghetti.
I'm not talking about Creighton. Talking about Gonzaga.
You said the whole weekend. You said what's going to happen to the whole weekend, and I skipped forward because I'm not really worried about Gonzaga, even though I should be.
Well, I mean, it's not just on paper that we know that the Purdue matches up well. I mean, we've seen it.
That's it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
On neutral court.
All right, LBD, what's your prediction?
I think Purdue wins by 10 plus two. I mean, maybe it'll be eight or something, but I think Purdue wins.
Okay, that's how you do a prediction.
I mean,
yeah.
Here's the weird thing. I had utter confidence yesterday, and my confidence has already been shaken. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I want all of the opportunity.
Roller coaster with... in your head.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. This time of year, it's bad. It's part of the reason that during games, I can't have many people around because it's a stressful situation for everybody. I'm going to say Purdue in a close one.
No.
Like, single digit. Close, like one possession.
Oof.
All right. Jay?
Barf.
I said 13. 80-67. Right. I'm giving you a score.
Cowards. Cowards. Purdue by 40.
They're not going by 40. If they've won by 28 and 39, if they win a third game by over 20.
You're not going to convince me. You're not going to convince me.
I'm not going to do what?
Convince
me. No, I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. I would be so excited if they won another game where – when was the last important Purdue game where you had a zero stress second half? Like zero stress.
I mean, this whole weekend, it was stunningly no stress. Like, I guess the first half against 10 minutes Grambling, each game. But like, I wasn't stressed against Grambling. Like, I wasn't really stressed against Utah State
it.
Ever.
You could see the seams tearing there pretty quick, and you're like, oh, yeah, here it comes. Brother, you said you were watching with everybody, and you're like, oh, here it comes, everybody. It's going to get bad.
Yeah.
You could see it. And you could see it in Utah State. Yep. The Utah State one went from, what, like a tie game to like 12 points in like,
It was like, oh, they're up by 7 now. How did that happen?
And now they're up by 12. Uh-oh. And then they hit that 3 right before the – then Lance banks in a 3.
Banks it in, exactly.
It was like, good night. That's all.
You guys have probably seen this stat on Twitter, but Edie scored 2 out of the 57 points in the second half. So
I saw it live, in fact, not just on Twitter. I watched the game.
The stat,
I watch all
watched
the
it on the TV in order to support these networks that are providing us college.
Exactly.
I watch all Purdue tournament games unless I'm at a wedding.
Anytime I can make True TV's numbers go up,
right.
I was at a wedding Friday night, and of course, people at the wedding knew who I wanted.
I don't talk about my Purdue fandom. I don't want people.
Right, and literally at the start of the game, I had multiple people doing the har. Oh, Purdue's already losing. Oh, Edie just went down. I was like, I said to a couple guys, I was like, this, it's not
break their knees. Break their knees.
Not even clever. Wait till the game's an hour old before you make those stupid comments that make you look stupid, and you should feel
stupid.
You
can't say anything that I haven't already said to
you. Exactly.
All right. You're going to have to dig real deep to come up with something I haven't heard before. Right. So let's not turn this wedding into a funeral, okay? Thank you very much.
Oh, man.
I hope I'm very wrong. I hope Michael's right. And I'd like my stress to not be something that bothers me and eats at me. But
we're going to have a podcast a week from now, and we are not going to go through a half of stress. Four halves of no stress is what's going to happen when we pod a week from now.
I'm not sure I'm ready to say that about the Sunday game, but okay.
I mean, that Tennessee game, that first one when Purdue played, that was like one of the worst games I've ever watched.
Not going to lie, Tennessee has me worried, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
I don't want to talk about how
you said four halves.
I know. I said four halves.
But he also thinks they're going to play Creighton. So
I think Creighton's going to win it.
I do three. The Rick Barnes factor is going to come in at some point for Tennessee.
People say that Barnes is fine. People need to stop with this. Barnes is fine. He's a fine coach. He's been to a Final Four. He's a fine coach.
He had Superman on his team.
Okay. We've lost the plot.
Come on.
Well, he has the second.
We've lost the plot. No, we haven't.
Connect is not Kevin Durant.
Durant wasn't on that team.
Durant was
not. No, it was not Durant's team. wrong. You are incorrect. He couldn't get to a Final Four with Durant. He could not
get. He didn't get to a Final Four with Durant. So they're you're building my argument, aren't you?
It was T.J. Ford, I think.
T.J. Ford, yeah, that's what I say. T.J. Ford equals Braden Smith. Look it up.
Guys, name and dudes.
Numbers. Look up the height and weight. They are the same guy. And I know it's impossible to go cross races and compare people, but I'll do it.
It's okay. No, it makes you more progressive. I like it.
Yeah,
you're not being limited. You're not restraining. Yeah. You're not being.
Yeah, they had, that's right. They had T.J. Ford, and they had another guy that went to the league, right?
Yeah.
On that team. Well, they had this absurd. He had so much talent.
And they went to the Final Four.
Span. So much talent in Texas because bags of cash were being just shipped out, right? So much talent.
Oh, Joe Inslee says it was Chris Mim.
Chris Mim.
Yeah, T.J. Ford and Chris Mim. Yep.
Very good.
Guys naming dudes.
Yeah. Guys naming dudes. I love that.
Not on that
right. I'm just saying. I don't think. I think Rick Barnes is unfairly maligned.
Royal Ivy. They had Royal Ivy. They had three NBA players on that Texas team.
Yeah, they went to the Final Four. What's your point?
Congratulations. Rick Barnes, I'm telling you, so many opportunities. So many opportunities.
I agree. Matt Painter, many opportunities.
Yeah, I know. This is the one that's.
Painter's youngish still.
We'll pot a week from now.
Rick Barnes may not be alive anymore. It's hard to tell. He may be
We'll pot a week from now, and we'll see if we'll be in a good or bad mood here at the end of that.
I don't like it, Anish. Don't say that.
What did he say?
Don't say it. I know what you're going to say.
What's
very good.
Very good.
After when we go off air, but not on air.
Sounds good.
Don't say it. Wait, I don't know what was going on there.
I don't either.
No, I'm intrigued.
You're right. Purdue by 40.
Good night and sweet dreams. Thank you for listening to the Handsome Basketball Beat Hour.
Love you guys. Good night. I don't know. Is that the end?